Welcome to Postscript. My name is Dave, one of the pastors here at Compass Point, and today with me again is lead pastor Paul Eastwood.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you, Paul?
I'm good.
Excited to keep going through this series. We're talking about change. We're talking about transformation. We're talking about how we're all works in progress, but we can be intentional and we can kind of better understand and better step into this. So why don't you introduced this last week, and then this week you talked about teaching a little bit, some other stuff. Why don't you give us a little recap?
Yeah. So really, you know, I think the first step is to recognize that, change is something that's desired. And what I've tried to lay it out over the last couple of weeks is that sometimes the change that we think is change is not really change. Sometimes we've actually secretly given up on change. Sometimes we're totally faking it. And I think that happens far more often than we'd like to admit.
Right.
And so what I tried to describe here at the beginning is change is something that we should desire. No matter where we are, no matter what our experiences are, you know, what we've tried before, what hasn't worked, I would say don't give up on working towards change. The second thing I would say is change is possible. So after not giving up, recognizing that there's hope, I think can really compel us forward. And so we've been talking about what transformation looks like. And I think we're sort of moving into the how as we go over the next couple of weeks. And we want to talk about the how using these four key catalysts, what we believe, who you spend time with, how you serve, and what really drives you. So those four questions are going to be what we are talking about over the next little while. And so the first one we talked about this week was what you believe. And really, we were talking about the renewal of our minds, because that's where it needs to start. The renewal of our minds is where transformation, really begins. Because we remember last week we were talking about change at the core or at the center.
Yeah.
And that is really about who we are. And so that involves a shift when it comes to our minds.
Yeah. And I love what you were saying about change being possible. It's funny how much, even as I look at my own life, I struggle to know if change is possible inside. So we talk about at our core, we talk about the renewing of our minds, right? Am I really going to change? And yet outside of us, we know that change is inevitable.
Yeah.
We struggle with it. It's hard, but look at the world we've lived in. We couldn't have predicted all the changes of the past 5 years.
Yep.
But we kind of at the same time understand we're not in control. So there's a fun tension at play with the inside and the outside here.
For sure.
But let's talk a little bit about that renewal of our mind and kind of the things we do. So you talked a little bit about teaching this week and sitting under good teaching, but it's not only the intentionality, right? Like that, I think you're compelling us, the Bible compels us to be careful and thoughtful and intentional about how we're renewed.
Yeah.
But again, I think change is inevitable, which means that we're always engaging in these things, right?
Right. Yeah. And I would actually go a step further. I think that change is not just inevitable. Change is automatic in the sense that we are moving towards something. We've talked about this lots of times, but I think it's really important for us to keep reminding ourselves that in the absence of intentionality, if we choose not to transform ourselves more and more into the likeness of Jesus, that doesn't mean that nothing is happening in our life.
Yeah.
It means that we are moving further and further away.
Yeah.
You know, in Romans chapter 12, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so what are the patterns of the world, right? The patterns of the world are seen all around us, from movies to politics to absolutely everything, social media, everything that we consume. And I think that we as Christians need to do a better job of realizing that all of that is moving us in a certain direction. It's changing us. It's having an effect on us.
Yeah. And in some ways, the patterns of the world, that's language similar to what we use when we explain rule of life, right?
Yes.
What are the patterns of our life? What are the habits of our life? And this is part of why we're leaning into rule of life.
Right.
It's all of life, and it actually requires intention.
Right.
Everything we do, whether it's how we spend our money or how we spend our downtime, how we connect with others, how we connect with God, these things all shape us. And if we're not intentional about them, they shape us.
Right. So rule of life directly confronts or changes or attacks the unintentional formation that's happening. So when we purposefully put patterns in our life that give us space to welcome and respond to Jesus, what we are doing is combating those other things that are taking us in different directions.
Yeah.
So when it comes to what we believe, I believe there's a John Mark Comer has this illustration talking about some of the change. He talks about change dynamics in a way that I find rather helpful. But he talks about our minds in the sense that there are stories that we believe, mm-hmm. that things that happen around us, whether it's news or things that we hear, those stories that we believe become the way that our minds think, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, I talked about this idea of like the machete in the wilderness, right? Yep. We're forming a path in our brains that are, you know, causing us to continually go back to those stories that we believe, right? Mm-hmm. So teaching replaces the stories that we believe.
Right.
Putting ourselves intentionally in a place to learn, learn content that is going to combat the things that we have been learning unintentionally.
Yeah.
And so my point is that there is this, I think that this push and pull between what happens unintentionally and what happens intentionally, I think might be the real crux of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about teaching, we are replacing the stories that we believe just because we believe them. And in fact, let me give you an example. If I were to say to you, you know, why do you believe such and such? A lot of people would say, well, I don't really know. I just grew up that way, or this was the family of like my family of origin. These were my experiences. And so you begin to believe a certain way.
Right.
In fact, our culture is really digging into this a lot about, you know, our prejudices and all these different things based on our own experiences. Mm-hmm. And what that proves is that we start to believe things just because they are stories that we believe that eventually form these concrete pathways. And we don't get off of them.
Right.
Right.
And so the one pushback I have to what you said, I think you're right. If we got into why do we believe what we did? I think the reasons are, I don't really know.
Yeah.
But often I'm actually pretty good at making excuses and making reasons for why I believe what I believe.
Right.
And it veils what's actually going on, which are these, it's almost this blind transformation that's happening.
Exactly.
I've got a couple of authors who really get at this well. One of them, James Smith, writes a book, number of books, but one of them called You Are What You Love, which gets at this idea for so long, kind of in modernism, we as people believed like we're mostly shaped by what we know, by what we, mm-hmm. what we intentionally think about. And actually there's a lot of evidence that we're mostly shaped by the things that fill our imaginations, mm-hmm. and the things that we love, the things that we pay attention to. So whether that is sports teams or the Bible or, you know, whatever you're into, mm-hmm. we're deeply shaped by them. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad. He doesn't say those are bad, but he talks about it in terms of like lordship. Where is Jesus Lord?
Yeah.
And again, we've pulled the passage about transforming our minds, which talks about worship. Right before that, it talks about worship, right? And it's kind of this acknowledgement, if Jesus is Lord, then we need to like pull him in as Lord over everything. And that takes work. And I think good teaching often reveals our blind spots.
Right.
It helps us see these things where we have been shaped or we are being shaped because of this or this or this. And I don't think any of us are immune to that. I think as we get older, they change maybe, but I think we've all got those blind spots where we're being shaped unintentionally.
Yeah.
And we need to figure out how to place ourselves more in a rule of life that shapes us intentionally towards Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I could sort of lean into, you know, some of the things that, you know, might feel a little icky and kind of weird, like, 'cause I think what you're saying is absolutely true about that book about You Are What You Love is a great book if, you know, people are looking for a read. And I think that there's so much truth to that we just sort of follow our desires, you know, in so many mm-hmm. ways. I also think that, you know, there's a guy that says, Pete Scazzaro talks mm-hmm. about, our sort of our lives. And he says that, you know, Jesus is in my heart, but grandpa's in my bones.
Yeah.
And so what he says is that our families of origin and our experiences often shape us as well, completely unintentionally. But as an example, if I were to say, like, if you grew up in a specific area, where you dealt with, you know, people from a different culture in a place, you know, it seemed like it was always, you know, happening in the same way. Mm. You were hearing stories from people that were like you about that other culture.
Yeah.
And over time, you develop a racism or a prejudice towards that group of people. based on your experiences and all that stuff.
Mm.
And so what ends up happening is when you act, that feeling actually, or that idea, the stories that you believe actually shapes the way that you interact with people.
Yeah.
The only way that you can change is through teaching and through learning about that other culture,
right,
learning about your own culture. And then all of a sudden you start to open your eyes and you see, like you talked about, your blind spots, mm-hmm, right? And so what I'm trying to get at is that there are things that we do unintentionally based on stories that we believe that are moving us in directions that we're like, ugh, I don't like that. But we don't even know. And so this opportunity to renew our minds is about putting ourselves in a place where we are hearing truth about God, truth, yeah, about who Jesus is, truth about ourselves. And that begins to open our eyes to blind spots. And that's how we move into the life that God's calling us to.
Yeah. So I want to go just a layer deeper on that.
Okay.
So you talked in terms of, you know, biases and things like racism and, yeah, prejudice, which are bad. And I think we kind, yeah, of generally acknowledge that it's bad.
Yeah.
I think there are other things that we grew up with that we, for instance, if you, depending on which heritage you grew up in, where kind of ethnic group or what have you, you probably have a taste for a certain kind of food.
Right.
Right. And like, I don't think it's not at the same level as racism, obviously. It's not necessarily bad. I think my question is, how do we acknowledge and embrace our uniquenesses? Because I think we as humans are all unique. We come from times and places and we are people of culture. That's not a bad thing. I don't think the goal is to become so open to everything. But how do we know which parts of those culture do we place at the feet of Jesus for transformation? That's a weird, yeah. I'm answering my own question as I say this.
Yeah.
And how do we accept some of those, but also be willing to give up any of them? How does that?
Well, I think that the answer to that question lies in the difference between unintentional and intentional, right?
Okay.
And so all of those things, there are so many things that make up who we are, right? Mm-hmm. And many of which is actually formed in us unintentionally.
Yeah.
And so understanding what is, you know, what is being formed in us allows us to differentiate between the food that we like and racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when we are intentional, we begin to see the differences between those two things, and we, right, can kind of, we can understand that. So that's the, to me, I think there's a beauty in the uniqueness of all of us that, yeah, you know, because of our family of origin, we, you know, we may have a certain, you know, desire to serve the poor because, yeah, of something that happened in our, or serve people, you know, in different circumstances based on our own circumstances. So, you know, all of those things are good things, but when we are intentional, then we start to see them and then we, you know, kind of move forward from there. I would actually say, here's a good illustrate or a good way to move forward here. I would say that I think this is John Ortberg, if I'm not mistaken, but he would say, here's a prayer for transformation, you know, in our own minds. The first question is, search me.
Mm-hmm.
So what is there about me that I need to know, God? Help, yep, me to see things in myself. Second thing is, stretch me, push me into places, ask, you know, move me to challenge me to think differently and all of those kind of things. And then the last question is, change me. Mm-hmm. So if you use that little format for your prayer, you know, search me, stretch me, and change me.
Yeah.
I think that will be a good way to start the process of doing a bit of an inventory of your life and starting to see the places that maybe you haven't been able to see before and start being intentional about the change that you want to see in your life.
Yeah. So as I hear you talking about this, on one hand, I'm excited and I'm like, yes, like I want to grow in self-awareness. I want that, like, search me, stretch me, change me. And on the other hand, it sounds exhausting. Like, it sounds like, oh my goodness, do I just, like, I have to do this all the time and, like, constantly evaluate and constantly, like, how do we find the strength to do this? Or how do we do this at a pace that's manageable? Because I know, like, there's a kind of change management theory in general out there would say, like, we as humans can't manage change at an unreasonable pace without kind of falling apart.
Right.
How does that apply for internal change like this and transformation and the pressures we put on ourselves to, like, search me, stretch,
yeah,
me?
It's a really good question. And I guess the way that I would approach it is that willpower alone will not change you.
Yes.
Right. your change is not dependent on, you know, whether you get at the right issue and, you know, figure it all out and answer every question and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, you know, whatever. There is the work of the Holy Spirit in this as well.
Yeah.
And so I think that when we think about the cooperation that happens between us and God, and we recognize that our responsibility is not to transform our lives or to make ourselves better people, our responsibility is to put ourselves in positions where we can be transformed. Mm. So when it comes to something like renewing our minds, this gets back to the very simple, almost dead simple, dumb simple kind of point of the sermon, right? Yeah. Put yourself in places where you receive good teaching. Hmm. Allow content to overflow into your mind and then allow it to sort of flow into your heart in a sense. Hmm. And my point is that it is exhausting to try to change all of these different things, try to identify them, whatever.
Yep.
But it is not exhausting to put ourselves in a place where we are hearing good teaching, where we are immersed in the Word of God, where we read and read and read, where we gather with God's people, where we interact with other people and we learn and we learn and we learn. Those kinds of things begin to have the change passively that unintentional transformation does, right? And so I think a lot of the work of the Holy Spirit, when we open ourselves up to His work and provide space to welcome and respond to Jesus. I mean, look, this is how all of these things are fitting together, right? That's the secret here is not to work harder, right? Work smarter. I mean, I know that's kind of a silly thing. But
and as I hear you talking, I'm thinking about both pace and space, which you just touched on, right? Ooh, like there's, in a way, we have more access to more kind of transformative content and teaching than we've ever had.
Right.
And I tend to like, love my distractions and to fill myself with distractions, which actually leads to more unintentional shaping than it should.
Right.
Part of my discipline that I think part of what the Holy Spirit is inviting me into is to actually like, yes, place myself in the place of teaching, but then engage slowly with it.
Right.
Or like go for a walk with no headphones in. Like don't try to fill myself with more content.
Right.
I don't need more content. Actually, if I'm coming to church once a week and hearing from the Word of God and singing together with people, it's not that I need tons more content. Yes, I should be studying the Bible. Yes, I should. You know, there's lots of other options in community. We're getting to all that. But I wonder if part of the problem is like there's kind of a right balance of how much content we can handle. And a lot of us are like overflowing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to focus on the right thing when we're always overflowing.
Yeah. So I would say, well, two things. I would say start with God's word.
Yes.
Second, lean into community in terms of gathering week after week on a Sunday and singing songs together, hearing stories in the lobby, listening to preaching on stage. I think those two things are the first step, and then you can add other things onto that. But here's what I would say. I think that what becomes exhausting, because there are so many, there's so much information out there, and I've said this before, lack of knowledge is not the problem.
Right.
Right. The problem is, you know, sometimes what ends up happening is we go looking for a specific information. So let me give you an example. Last week I talked about the fact that, you know, we're talking about transformation and people are saying, well, that's great, but I need a problem with this. I have this problem with anger, or I have this problem with, you know, like overeating, or I have this one problem that's what needs to get solved. Mm-hmm. And so we go looking even in the Bible for the solution to that anger problem or the solution to that. And I think that's exhausting. And I think sometimes what Jesus is saying is you are asking the wrong dang question, you know? And so we get exhausted because we're searching after answers that we think we need, but we need to actually allow space for Jesus to work so that we begin to answer the questions that he wants answered in our lives. And that really comes back to what we love, you know, what we desire and what we are moving towards. Yeah. And I think, you know, that to me is what it looks like to renew our minds.
Yeah. I love that. It's less, everything is less of a tutorial video, and more of a like slow, steady shaping of just being in community and being under the Word of God and all that.
Yeah.
This is great, Paul. We're out of time for today. Man. We didn't talk about cookies at all, so I expect to hear about them again next week. We'll see. But any closing thoughts for us?
Yeah, I think I think this has really been a great conversation and been even clarifying for me, but You know, I always want to come back to this idea that if you think that you have come to a place of transformation, you're not there yet. So let's all commit to the real good work of allowing God to change us from the inside out.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Paul. Always appreciate these conversations. Thank you for listening along to Postscript. We will be back next week with more.